Thank you for that prayer. Thank you for waking me up. I would like to... The topic I want to speak about today is a very solemn one. It's about judgment. And I just want if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Now, in that chapter there, we have got two parables of judgment and then a more realistic picture of what that judgment is going to be like. And I just want to look at the second parable in that case, which starts at verse 14. It's normally called the parable of the talents. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is a man travelling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2 had also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou hast deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also, at the received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he that had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a very solemn parable, that. And in another case where there's part of that parable, that the phrase, for unto one have be given, it says in another case, take heed how you hear. The Lord Jesus says, take heed how you hear. So it's a very important that we get this message about judgment across. Now, the reason that is because we are going to fall into 2 categories here. And this is very solemn here, because at some point, all of us here are going to hear a voice, a loud voice. And that voice is going to say either, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord, or you're going to hear it say, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. In that place, there's going to be weeping and there's grinding of teeth. Now, that's not a very pleasant picture, I think you'll agree. But I just want to... There's various interpretations you can make this, but just for this case, I would just want to say about the talent here, I just want to say apply it as divine knowledge. Because divine knowledge is something every one of us here has. Adam had divine knowledge. He had intimate knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Oh, sorry, intimate knowledge of God. But he lost it in the fall. But he still that still divine knowledge is there, and it's still carrying on throughout the generations. He's left that to posterity. And as Paul makes clear in the first chapter of Rome, the pagans, they had that knowledge as well. But they twisted it. They perverted that, and they made it into images of animals and birds and fish. And they built idols, and they started to worship these things instead of worshipping God. So all of us here have it as well. We've got that divine knowledge. And it seems that what you're going to do with that knowledge, as with the talents, is going to affect your final state. So I just want to say about why, that is why that all of us here are going to be judged. Because we've all got that divine knowledge. We're all responsible for what we're going to do with that divine knowledge. Because we've all rebelled against that divine knowledge against in us. We've rebelled against our Creator. He's created us. And yet, and what is the thanks that we give him back? We don't even acknowledge him, for the most part. You can see the world around you. It's not a God-acknowledging world. But when I say the judge, we're all going to be judged. But there are some of us who are going to be condemned, as we see there. And I say that this because of the talents, it's the important thing, they've done nothing with that divine knowledge. Because they've took that talent and they've buried it. They've dug a hole, they've buried it, they've patted it over, you know, and that's it. They've forgotten about it. I want to see you think that there's two reasons mainly for this. And the thing is, the one thing is, the reason why certain people have buried that divine knowledge, because they don't believe that he's coming back. They don't believe that God has anything to do with them, that God has anything to do with their existence. They would just like to live without that knowledge there. So they've just taken that knowledge and they've just, you know how sometimes when you get something at work that you don't want to do, or at least it's unpleasant to do it, and you just take it and you want to push it the other side of your desk. That's sometimes the case. And that's what people do with the knowledge of God. They take it and they shove it to the side. They don't want to be, it's something they just don't want to consider. But unfortunately, what it says in the Bible is the Lord Jesus here, he's going to come back, because it's obviously a parable to do with him. He's going to come back, and it's going to be a reckoning for all who's here, for everyone. And another thing, and another reason that may possibly be, is that if he does come back, you've got something that's going to protect you from that condemnation. Just like that man did with the talent. He came back and he said, yeah, what have you done? What have you done with this talent I gave you? And he just returned the talent and said, there you go, Lord, that's yours. You gave it to me. I'm giving it to you back. Everything's fine. It's all hunky-dory now. And the Lord says, no, that's insufficient. You know me. You knew what kind of man I was. It was up to you to do something with that divine knowledge. It was up to you to take that divine knowledge and to multiply it. You knew that, and yet you did nothing. So there's some things that people, especially in the Roman Catholic tradition, that they think that they've got something, they've done some work that's going to say, Lord, I've done this, I've done that. And they say, but that's not what I was asking for. And we just wanted to go on and say, sorry, about what that will be, what the Lord is looking for. But let's make no mistake about this condemnation that man with that one talent is under, because it says it's going to be thrown into the outer darkness. He's going to be thrown into outer darkness, and in that place there's going to be weeping and grinding of teeth. And in another place, he's saying, "He's depart from me, ye cursed." They're under the curse of God for what they've done, or basically what they haven't done. And it says, cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, the thing that's interesting to say, it was prepared for the devil and his angels. But he's not saying it's prepared for man. He wasn't supposed to be there. You know, when man was created, he was supposed to be there to glorify God, as it said in the Catechism, to enjoy him forever. So God wasn't making any plans to send men to hell. But unfortunately, men disobeyed God, they sinned, they fell, and they've been disobeying God ever since that time. And there's no choice. Once you've done that, you're under the curse of God. And there's only one way that we can escape that curse. Now, as I say, we know about that terrible thing about the condemnation. But how are you going to escape that condemnation? And I just want to think again about, in the parable there, about the character of the one servant, the talent, and the other servant had a different number of talents. Because the good servants, they were called good and faithful. And those were the ones that were rewarded by the Lord. But the other servant, he was called wicked, and very important here, he was called slothful. He was lazy. You know, it's good to have these two qualifications there about that servant, to say that he was wicked and slothful. Because sometimes, you know, some people can believe you don't have to be outrightly wicked. You know, you can be a perfectly law-abiding citizen, and that is going to, in some way, save you, or some way get you into God's good books. But that's not going to happen. And as I said, but he's slothful, he's lazy, he's not doing anything with this divine knowledge that he has. He's not trying to find out why he exists, why he was created by God. He's not doing anything, but he's just going ahead with his life, just going to his work and coming back home and eating and sleeping, whatever, doing all of this thing, and there's nothing, anything that bothers him about his existence at all. But that is just as much going to be a condemnation from the Lord that it is that you went and did something that is outrightly wicked. But here we can look at the other servants there, because it was said that they were good and they were faithful, and faithful is the key there. They had the faith that the Lord was going to return. They knew he was going to return. They had the faith that what they were doing was according to the Lord's will. They knew what he wanted. They were doing it. And that's in the parable, but I want to say in real life, it's faith in Jesus Christ that will save us from that condemnation. And that's the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't really, it's so a tremendous thing to have, to know that you've got that such belief and that trust in the Lord Jesus and what he's done, because Jesus Christ is God's cure for your wickedness. Jesus Christ he's the prod for our sloth as well. You know, we want to get able to know him more. We want to be able to put more faith in him to help us through our Christian lives. But here he is. He's saying here, you know enough about the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, some of you have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ for years and years, but perhaps you've not done anything about them. But I'm just asking you today, just let the Lord Jesus Christ, let him take out your wicked heart that you have with there. Let him put into a new heart in you. Let him put a new heart that's full of righteousness, that's full of life from God himself. You know, that is the very thing that God wants people to do. We want them to have faith in Jesus Christ. And you know, that is a free offer. There's no price that you have to pay to get this salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no price. He's done all the work. He's put himself on that cross in your stead, in the stead of sinners. He's been numbered among the transgressors. There was a totally innocent life that he led, and yet our reaction to him, sinful man's reaction, is to take him and put him on a cross and nail him there. But you know, thank God the Father that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He destroyed the devil and all his works. And now he's looking for those who are willing to put his faith in him so that he'll join them. Join them to be with him, to be like him. And that they will not fall under the condemnation that's going to occur if you don't. And that's also to say that I think again about the character of the Lord in the parable itself. He says he's a hard man there. But he says, you know, there's often here someone saying that Christ comes first as a saviour, but the second time as a judge. And in it, because when, if Christ were to come now, that would be it for you. There'd be no time to repent. There'd be no excuses, no further excuses, nothing that you could say, no excuse that you could give to him and say, oh, perhaps tomorrow, perhaps next week, perhaps next year. That would not be allowed. You would have to reckon for what you've done of your life up to this point. Because remember, it also says, without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see the word diligently there? That's the opposite of sloth. The opposite of laziness. But also the good news is that there's no more condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. You know, they walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the great beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved us from our sins. He saved us from condemnation. That's a great thing. That's a great state to be in. So, but what I'm asking you today is that do not be like that slothful servant. Don't think that you've got time, because it says in the parable that after a long time, and you know that's after a long time is purely because of the mercy of God, that he's given you time to repent. But a long time is not forever, and a long time is not guaranteed. The best thing is to give your heart to the Lord Jesus now. You don't want to spend that eternity in that kind of, these are only symbolic descriptions of hell, but the symbols are quite terrible just to read. So if that symbols are like that, what's the reality going to be like? So I'm asking now if you would just accept the Lord Jesus into your heart. And I just want to say, finally, sorry if it's so short a thing, but I just want to say an encouragement and a warning by Martin about the final states of these servants. Because think of it says, the Lord says, those good and faithful servants, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. A joy. Can you just imagine that? The joy of being with the Lord, the joy that he's giving to his people. The joy of knowing that there's no more sin, there's no more tears, no more crying. You be with him forever in a perfect state of joy with him. That's an encouragement to all the saints. That's an encouragement to keep going, even though sometimes in our lives we can suffer in different ways, but we can suffer in physical pain. But we know that when the Lord Jesus comes, we'll be entering into his joy. But then, can I just say about the other servant? The servant where he said, throw him into the outer darkness. There's going to be some form, I would say, of some kind of physical pain. Now, we all don't like physical pain. But that is going to be your responsibility, because you did nothing to accept the Lord Jesus. You just went ahead of your own life and lived your own life for yourself. Well, then in that case, God says, well, I can't have you in my kingdom. And you see there when it says, he that hath, that he will get more. He will get more from the sin. But see, he that person that says, have not. The Lord says, I'm going to take away what you have. The Lord's taking away a little bit of divine out of you. He says, I gave you it. I want it back now. And that's not going to be, there may be thing that you are under the mercy of God now because you've got that little part in you. But if God takes that away, then that's not going to be, you're going to be in a state where there's going to be no God around you, no God within you. That's not a state you want to be in, an eternal state like that. And I just want to remind you that laziness can be just as much a condemnation as any sort of outright wickedness thing that you can do. That's why be diligent. You know, search now. Now is the day of salvation. You know, we might not have tomorrow. It's joy. So that's just the message I'd like to leave you today. It's about not, do not be lazy in the things of God. Search the Bible. Speak to people. Find out about the things of God. Don't be caught out. Just let the, accept the Lord Jesus into your life. He'll give you a new heart. He'll give you the Holy Spirit. Father, there's so much joy that the Lord can give you. And you'll be able to fight the sins that are, mortify the sins that are doing there. So that's just a message I want to leave you today. So thank you very much, and I'll just close with a prayer. So, Father, we thank thee that we have had faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, that we know that he has taken our sins in his body on the tree, Father, and he has paid the price. So, Father, that we would not come under thy condemnation. Oh, Father, this is a great and a fantastic and a wonderful thing, and we thank thee for it so much. But, Father, we think of those who have perhaps not yet accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as a Saviour. Father, we know that there's terrible things that can say about the final state of such a people, that they're under the curse, that, Father, they would go to the everlasting fire. And, Father, we would not like to see this happen, but, Father, we would see that they would see the need of the Lord Jesus, they accept him into their life. And, Father, that new hearts and, Father, and new minds, and they would grow to love thee as, Father, we should have been worshipping thee from the beginning, Father, but we fell at that first hurdle. But, Father, we thank thee that the Lord Jesus Christ came to reconcile us to thee once again. Father, we just thank thee for the work that the Lord Jesus Christ has did. For we ask it in his name. Amen.